Verse 7 and 8, we see that Jesus is continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, and he's been giving us a lot of gold. He's been telling us things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. In the introduction, we talked about how judging people is something that is not a desire of Christ for the church. And we also saw that Jesus is desiring people to be open and honest about who they are in the kingdom. To see themselves with the potential to live in that mansion that Jesus is so preparing for them. To see themselves set free from the bondage of sin. To see themselves leaving behind an old lifestyle, kind of like Matthew, the tax collector, who is writing and collecting all of this data. And he's looking at these people with the potential, the desire to see them flourish in the kingdom, not only the kingdom that's to come, but the kingdom here on earth. Remember, Jesus said, man, I wish that as the kingdom was in heaven, so that it would be here, thriving, flourishing among my people. I wish what existed in heaven, the sinlessness of heaven, the forgiveness of heaven, the love of heaven, I wish that that would just flourish and thrive within my people here on this earth. And so we know that that is what Jesus desires. And then he, after talking about judging people, he's like, hey, I don't want you to do that, but I need you to do this. And over, we see this, like, this thing that Jesus is doing where he's like, this, forget about all this, but really hold on to this. And he goes back and forth. And he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Because in doing these things, you will find out how good God is. Notice how he says that. He's like, you who want to know how good God is, I need you to do something for me. I need you to ask. I need you to have a conversation. Do you see the desire of Jesus to have a single conversation with you where you just ask him some stuff? Where you're seeking out his will. He said in the previous verses, seek my kingdom first and all these things will be added unto you. Right? And so he's asking for this conversation. He's like, he's welcoming you, whoever you are. Whoever brought you here, whatever your background is, whatever you're struggling with, whatever sin you participated in an hour ago and 2 hours ago before you came to worship, he's desiring a conversation with you. And he says, look, man, I don't even want you just to like talk to me. I want you to ask me some stuff. Like he wants to have an open Q&A session with you. I want you to seek some stuff out. Seek me and you will find me. Seek my face. And what did the psalmist say? Your face, Lord, I will seek. And that is the tension between a sinful human and a holy God. And what Jesus did to bind those two things together is saying, look, now that I've gone to the cross, I've torn the veil, I've given you access so that you could come in and have this conversation with me. You could ask anything you want. You can seek out my will for your life. You can knock on as many doors as possible to see if maybe I would work in that way. Ask, he says. The Greek word tells of our common insufficiency, our common selfish demands, and our common state of the heart. We have all at one point or another been in a state of need. However, sometimes what we ask for isn't exactly the solution to what we need. Here's an example. This word ateo, is used in Luke 23, 23. What is it talking about? It says this, but they were insistent, demanding or asking with loud voices that he, Jesus, be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. Do you see a difference there? Like Jesus is telling us, like he wants a conversation with us, and he's using a word that was used to describe what the Jewish people wanted to do with him. How they were asking Pontius Pilate to crucify this man. You know when else this word was used? Two verses later, when they asked for Barabbas instead of Jesus. So he's taking a word that has a negative connotation and he's spinning it to have a relationship with you and him. You see that? He's like, I'm coming to flip the script on this word. Before it was a very negative word. It was also the word used when the jailer in Philippi, like he was about to kill himself. And then Paul's like, no, don't kill yourself. We got this. We're all here, my man. We love you. And he goes and runs and asks for a light or a torch because he wants to see what's going on and why somebody decided to stop him from committing suicide. See, it comes from a very dark world, this word ask. And Jesus is telling us and asking us to ask him to bring light into our world. Isn't that crazy? He's flipping the definition. It didn't blow your mind as much as I thought it would. It blew my mind. But it goes to show us that when we feel that others don't align with us theologically, our nature demands justice. See, these guys, these Jewish people, Jesus didn't align with them theologically. The sons of thunder were in the same predicament. Because people didn't align with them theologically, he asked God, God, will you just rain down fire and brimstone? And let's fast forward 2,000 years when somebody doesn't align with us theologically, we ask God for justice. Lord, take away their YouTube followers. Take away their Instagram reach. They're preaching a false gospel. And though that is a good thing to ask, the better question would be, Lord, save that person. Save that person so that he could turn around and he could take that reach and make it effective for your name. Wouldn't that be a better question to ask? And so here we have the same thing going on. Because someone doesn't align with this theologically, we demand justice all while neglecting the pride of the question, the pride that's underlying in the question that we're asking God to do on our behalf. See, the sons of thunder were prideful. Didn't they ask to be? They even sent their mommy to be like, hey, you know, can you go ask, you know, Jesus if we could be on the right and the left? There was a undertone of pride in the things that they asked for. We can ask questions like, Lord, are we going to make it? Have you ever asked that question? Lord, am I going to make it? Am I going to stay saved? Or am I going to fall away? My heart breaks. You know what? You know what's crazy to me? That my heart breaks when people who followed their God so passionately, and then you hear of just this unraveling of things that happen, and now they're not walking with Jesus. You know what? You know it's close to that. Like the other day, I asked my students, like, "Hey, do you guys remember of Matisyahu, the Jewish Hasidic rapper reggae artist?" And they're like, "No, Mr. Mora." I was like, "Oh shoot, the album that he started with, that I started listening to, launched the year that they were born. I was like, I'm old, man. You know, like I was like, oh man, I just dated myself. And these guys don't know who Modest Yahoo is. He's one of the most brilliant Jews out there that literally rapped in reggae kind of underlying music about like King David. And all these Old Testament like saints, like all this stuff, and he would just rap and put it together so eloquently. And he one thing that always stuck to me is that in one of his choruses, he goes, we want Mashiach now. And that was his chant for the desire of Messiah to come. And I'm like, man, that always stuck with me. Because I found the Messiah. I know who he is. But this guy is still looking for him, desiring for him, wanting a relationship with him, and he can't find him. And now if you look, and he used to have, you know, I love Jews, man. I will go to the Trader Joe's by Bixby Knowles just to hang out with some Jews on a Saturday. I will drive, like it's right there. I'm like, babe, look, there's some Jews. Let's go talk to them. I want to find out. Like, there is this thing called like yeshiva, like this educational thing that they're all about. I'm like, I want to find out. I want to find out what's at the root of that. I want to talk to them. They're God's people. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, I'm not here being like trying to get like, oh, they're deceived and all that stuff. Like, I want to know their story because I want to see how much it aligns with what Jesus provides. Because if they have a story that's so close to the gospel, it's so easy for me to just bring the gospel next to them and say, look, this is what Jesus has done. And all of us, like, dude, to me, it's just exciting to see God work. Like, as much as the guy in front of me at Starbucks needs Jesus, the Jews need Jesus, right? Everyone needs Jesus. And so everybody is on an equal playing field to know who Jesus is. And when this dude is like, he has all his curls, you know, and he's got this gnarly beard. I wish I could grow a beard. I can't grow a beard. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, dang, man, I just want to talk with him. And seeing his journey, this guy named Modest Yahoo. And then all of a sudden, the next time I see him on a video, he's rapping the same songs from back in 2000. Guess what? It's all gone. He shaved his beard. He cut off his curls. He broke covenant. And I'm like, how could this happen? And I'm so bummed out. And it hurts me so much that somebody who had such close access to God, who was so like in proximity, think about it, God still loves them. God still wants to save them. And the book of Revelation, over and over and over, you see the heart of God telling people to repent. Remove yourself from Babylon. Go into the hills and the mountains. Hide yourself from the wrath to come. Don't take the mark of the beast. Over and over and over, God is providing a way of escape for these people. Because he loves them. He has a heart for them. And these people have such a close proximity. And they ask over and over and over. But they ask amiss. And here Jesus is telling us, look, man, you can ask whatever you want. I'm here. I'm ready to answer. And just like God answers the atheist, just like God answers the skeptic, he answers the questions of the Jews. And the questions of the Gentiles, and the questions of the transgender people, and the people that are the farthest from God, God is answering their questions. And here, we can have questions like, Lord, are we going to make it? Why are you kicking me when we're down? God, how are you going to provide for us? Though these are true questions, God, why am I still single? Why am I still poor? Am I going to rent forever? Or are you going to provide a house miraculously? How, Lord, are you going to do this stuff? How are we going to continue living in 770 square feet for the rest of our lives just to be able to see more people reach for the gospel? If so, I'm good. But I'm asking the wrong question. My question should be, Lord, how can I be more fruitful with the 770 square feet? How can I be more fruitful in my singleness? How can I be more fruitful even with the income that you provided? How can I be more? Because God, you said that it is required only of a steward, through Paul the Apostle, you said it is required of a steward that he only be faithful. And so God, with everything you've given me, how can I like reach the pinnacle of faithfulness? How can I exceed the expectations? How can I raise the bar of faithfulness so that my kids know how to be faithful? I struggle with something. I struggle with my daughters walking away from Jesus. And they're only 7, 5, and 3, man. I have a long way to go. One thing that messes with me is seeing them walk away from the Lord. Or seeing them make mistakes. Seeing them wild out. I don't even want to know what social media is going to look like in 10 years when my daughter's 17. I don't even want to know. And I'm scared. I'm worried. And I struggle with this. And I know God's telling me not to worry and to take courage and to rest on his promises. That if you train up a child in the way he should go, guess what? He's not going to go that far. He's not going to depart so far away. And even so, the psalmist also said, hey, man, look, the arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, nor the ear dull that it cannot hear. And so if you preach these words over and over and over again to a bunch of people, look, what you got to do is preach them to your daughters. You got to preach the gospel over and over to your kids. You got to love on your kids with the gospel, nourish your kids with the gospel so that they know that even though they've gone so far, there is still room for God to work. Even though they messed up so bad, God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think. Because if we forget those things, we forget the faithfulness of God, and we forget that God wants to work. But it all starts with asking. And sometimes we ask the wrong question. You know what I've learned lately? Is that I'm weak. I'm weak. I need courage. Yes, I need courage. There's a situation that came up last week, and I had a bunch of friends coming around me and it's like, why are you scared, man? It's because I'm scared that someone's going to look at me as a failure. And they're like, you need to man up. And you need to go, and you need to confront this. I'm like, dude, I can't go up, like, talk to somebody that's multiple levels above me and ask that hard question, man. I can't do that. I'm like, well, we're going to pray for you. And they get this group text going. I'm like, great, another group text, right? But they're praying for me. I leave here, I'm like, they're praying for me. I'm like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to man up and I'm going to send that text. I got courage. All of a sudden, I slept on it. I got courage, and the Lord's like, send that text, man. I'm like, hey, can we meet up just for a little bit? And they didn't answer. And I'm like, oh man, see, here we go. And 2.5 hours later, he goes, yeah, let's meet up. I'll give you 15 minutes. I'm like, man, that's a for sure no. You know, like, why am I even going to go? I'm going to drive. It's going to take me longer to drive from Long Beach to where I was going than the whole meeting. I'm like, why? I'm not going to drive all this way for a no. I get there, and I'm like, all right, man, this is what I got to say. Like, this is tough for me to ask. I just want to tell you, like, this is what I'm looking at right now. This is what I'm dreaming of. This is what I want. This is what I desire. And I know it's going to glorify the Lord. And he looks at me, you know what, man? God already spoke to me about that. That's why I scheduled this 15-minute meeting, because I already knew what you were going to ask. And I was already going to say yes to the question that you haven't even asked yet. And I'm like, wait, what? Slow down a second. Slow your roll. And now all of a sudden I got courage, and I'm like, you know, the man. And he's like, yeah, like, look, God already spoke to me. I'm like, what? See, like, we might not have the courage right now, but God is already working so that when you do have the courage to ask, he's already provided what you asked for. You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is like, if he knows what we have need of before we even ask, what is causing us to lack courage to ask the question? Oh, that girl's vibing me. Should I ask her out? Yeah, man, if she's vibing you, obviously, you need to ask. You go ask the question. God is, you know, I'm not even going to go there. But what I'm saying is, like, look, man, sometimes this is why I'm glad I didn't date. Because, like, as a Christian, I'm glad that God had just one girl for me since I got saved, the girl that invited me to church and the girl that I married. But, man, sometimes I'm like with these guys, I'm like, yo, man, if she's vibing you, just go have a conversation with her. Talk to her like you would talk to Jesus. Put your guard up. You know, don't keep your cards close, man. Girls, same way. Keep your cards close. Why? Because you will never know if you never ask. You will never know if you never seek. You will never know if you never knock. And this is what Jesus is telling us here. He's like, man, you need to ask me. Have the conversation with me. Let's talk about it. When it comes to seeking, like, man, this one thing that God explicitly tells us to do, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. That word is zeteo. It's a desire to look for. Do you desire to look for what God is trying to give you? Sometimes we don't have the desire, so we don't ask. Sometimes we don't have the courage, so we don't knock. And God is telling us here, look, man, you need to attempt to find. You need to attempt to go after it. Dreams are not dreams if they stay on the couch. And so often, we don't ask for something because we think that God's not in it. What if the conversation went something like this? Lord, I think she's the one. And God gives you a maybe. And to me, a maybe, a lot of people think it's defensive, right? To me, it's like, all right, Lord, let me seek more. Let me seek your face more, because you're open, the door is kind of unlocked. And so let me just seek you more. Lord, let me start praying for her. Let me start, like, actually interceding for what may be my future wife. And you start interceding. You think I just all of a sudden had the courage to ask my wife to marry me? Man, I was on my knees just praying for God, like, God, please, I don't want her to say no, man. Like, she only knows me for, like, how, like, man, like, have you ever seen those videos on Instagram where the girl says no? That's heartbreaking, dude. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And so I had to get courage. I had to get courage to go up to, like, I don't, check this out. I didn't do it in front of a gang of people. I did it in front of her dad and her mom. That's hard. That's really hard. And I'm sitting there like, think about it. You're on the couch dreaming. Oh, Lord, please say, let her say yes, Lord, please. And that dream could stay there. And I'm just like, oh, never mind. We'll do it another day. Parents, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to get some Del Taco. And you could say that, but what if the dream caused you to get up out of a couch and drop down on a knee to ask a question while your father-in-law, future father-in-law, mother-in-law are just cracking up at how nervous you are? You know, and you're just like, will you marry me? And like, you're just asking a very simple question. It's not like you're asking like, hey, will you give me $1 million? You're just like, hey, will you marry me? And you're just on the knee and you're just, and she's looking at you, just drawing it out. Like, oh man, all right, how long should I wait to say yes? Because he's fine. I love him. He has gray hair. And all of a sudden, she's like, of course. But if the dream stayed on the couch, I would never have known. If I didn't humble myself and drop down to a knee, if you men aren't humble enough to go to the cross for your lady, she's not the right one. And if you women don't see that he's wanting to go to the cross for you, he's not the right one. A man must be willing to be like Jesus, pick up his cross all the way to Calvary for the love of his bride. So till you find that right one, you better keep asking. Better keep seeking. You better keep knocking. That's free. You can have it. Take it home. Take it to the bank. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That last part is so intimate. Because for you in the Jewish culture, to have the audacity to dine with something, it's saying that you're becoming one with him. That you're family. That you can ask for another bowl of pozole or menudo. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you know you're in. When you can ask for more food, that's when you know you're good. Okay? And so here Jesus is saying, look, I'm not asking not only for you to knock. I'm willing to tell you what doors are closed and what doors are not. That was a wrap. And so you guys didn't even notice. But see, here's the thing. It's like all these doors you could just knock. Hey, is anybody there? Hey, is anybody? Like, think about knocking on someone's. Nobody knocks on anybody's doors anymore. Right? You don't go to your. Like, normally I just text my neighbor, hey, I'm coming over. Okay, cool. The door's unlocked. Sweet. I don't have to knock. You know? But you're the same thing with Jesus. He's like, hey, man, I need you to knock because I need you to know if that door. Is there anybody home? Is there anything there for you? Is the door locked already? Because see, the thing is, on the doors that are open for you, if you knock and you open them, I may have something for you there that didn't exist on the other doors. I may have something that's very special, that's supernatural for you, that you can't provide in and of yourself. But if you're not knocking, how are you going to know? How are you going to know if Jesus is, if on the other side of the door, there is your pretty, beautiful bride that's sitting next to Jesus just waiting for you. That you two would dine with him together. and be glued by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking a lot about love. I'm in love, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. I love my wife, you know, and so everything, one of my references is going to be about how madly in love I am with my wife. But that's just reciprocal to what Jesus is to his bride. You know what I mean? That's how much Jesus loves his church. But if we're not asking, if we're not seeking, if we're not knocking, maybe we're not part of his church. This is a imperative command. Like, God's not saying, if you get around to it, ask me. If you get around to it, seek after my kingdom first. If you get around to me, knock on some doors. It's not what Jesus is saying. He's like, man, if you ask, you're going to find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. If you seek, you will not be found lacking. And all I'm trying to do in these three actions for you as a Christian is to show you how good I am. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that what he's saying here? Right? Where is it at? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's verse 12. We didn't even cover that. But this is what's happening. God's like saying, look, man, I just want to show you how good I am. But you're not going to find out how good he is if you're not asking or seeking or knocking.